Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? I've got two short passages.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to be reading from Psalm 92 and Ecclesiastes 9 and 8. Psalm 92, and I think it's verse 10, right, Brother Mason?
Yeah, 10,
the second half of 10. Psalm 92 and verse 10, it says, I shall be anointed with a clean oil. It says fresh oil up there, but it basically means a clean oil. Amen. And Ecclesiastes 9 and 8 says, let thy garment be always white, let thine head not lack the fresh oil, the clean oil. Amen. Father, we love you and we praise you. We magnify your name, dear God. We ask your blessing be upon the reading of this word. And your blessing be upon the message in the name of Jesus. We magnify and praise you, O Lord. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. How many of you ladies have been cooking for a while? Amen. Now, I'm told that every good cook knows that stale oil can ruin a meal. Amen. Stale oil, the taste of it, just permeates all over the food. No matter how good the food was before you put it in there, the oil's stale. And go to a restaurant where they ain't changed the grease in a while. And try to eat that French fry that tastes like chicken. It tastes like fish. Yeah. And it's dark brown. And they ain't cleaned the vat in a while. But it don't take a whole lot of stale oil to ruin the whole meal. Just a little bit can ruin it. Can somebody say amen? I love y'all. There is a staleness among many Pentecostal churches today. I ain't talking about the nominal churches where they've been stale for decades. I'm talking about there's a staleness now among many Pentecostal churches. And you know what? It has happened so slowly and gradually over time that they're not even aware that they become stale anymore. Is anybody out there today?
Amen.
We're going to talk about a little bit about Samson real quick. Samson in the book of Judges It got to the point where, you know, Samson was God's judge. Samson was anointed with God's power. Samson was anointed to not be defeated. He was a Nazarite from God from birth. But Samson decided when he got a little older that he got a little bit too big for his britches. And Samson started laying down with a Philistine prostitute named Delilah. And after a while, he gave up his anointing. He didn't realize that he had, but he did. And when she cut the 7 locks of hair off his head, he lost his anointing with God, because God told him never. There were several things that Samson was never supposed to do. There were several rules that being a Nazarite from God that Samson was supposed to follow. And the very last of which was not to cut his hair, his 7 locks of hair. But over the years, Samson got too full of himself, thinking, I'm big and God's chosen. I can't do nothing wrong. He started doing the things he wasn't supposed to do. Do you know what one of those things was? He was not supposed to take wine or strong drink in his body. Brother Mac, you mean God don't like for us to drink alcohol? Well, just follow the word of God. Amen. It was just a little, but there were several other things. A little bit, Samson gave up all the things that he was not supposed to do as a Nazarite from God to maintain God's anointing. And he got down to the last thing was he only had one thing left, and that was. And one night he slipped up and told Delilah what that last thing was. Let me stop. Oh, I love y'all. But we as a Pentecostal churches, slowly but surely over the years, we have given up one thing at a time. This thing, a little bit, this thing. Where it gets to the point now, I love y'all, I really do. And you can't tell you apart from nobody else in the world.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. The only difference between you and somebody else in the world is you go to church once a month on Sunday. Oh! Or once every 3 months. Once every 6 months. Mother's Day, Easter, and Christmas, yeah. But Judges in 1620, Samson had done laid down with that prostitute. And she knew what she had to do, because she was paid by the Philistines to make him lose his anointing. You know the devil's out there, and he is literally sending people to destroy you. He's sending friends to tell you, you ain't got to listen to what that, this ain't in my notes, you ain't got to listen to what that preacher says. You ain't got to live like that to get to heaven. You ain't reading the same Bible I am. I get terrified if I forget something and do something that's against the word of God. I do. Because I don't want nothing standing between me and God. And we've got to the point now that you can't tell Pentecostals from the drunks in the bar. Oh, that got real quiet. I had... Okay. Yeah, amen. When Samson woke up out of Delilah's bed that morning, she had called the Philistine soldiers to come capture him, and he saw him coming, and the Bible says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. The Lord had departed from him? Well, Lord, you've been with me all this time. Why did you depart from me now? Well, Samson, I ain't the one that done the departing. You done it little bit by little bit by little bit until finally you gave up that last thing that was a deal between me and you, and you broke it. See, God was willing to stand on that whole thing. I love y'all. Samson wist not that the Lord had departed from him, but he knew what it meant to be anointed. What have I been talking to y'all about for the past 2 months? God told me to proclaim the anointing upon you. getting into another message, but I want you to understand what I mean when I say God wants me to proclaim the anointing. God is not saying for me just to announce it. God is not saying just for me to tell it to you so that you will understand. God has told me, man of God, prophesy over those believers. And I have prophesied over you that God has said he is sending his anointing unto you that you might lead the lost to the house of God and lead the lost unto salvation. As I spoke, conviction settled in the pit of somebody's stomach. When I said God had prophesied that he had anointed you, why am I hearing this? God said somebody realized they cut their hair in the middle of it. Samson knew what it meant to be anointed. He walked in the power and the anointing of the Lord as a judge of Israel. But after he fell to the sexual lusts, you mean sex is still a sin, Pastor? Sex outside of marriage is still a sin? After he fell to the sexual lust of that Philistine prostitute, Delilah, when troubles faced him, he shook himself like he had before. Because usually when he shook himself, all the bindings and all the troubles that were trying to trap him fell off. But he shook himself this time and he found out that he was still bound. We got people still shaking like they used to, but the power has left them. They have stepped out from under the anointing. They're getting up out of Delilah's bed and still shaking like before, but they don't have the power of the anointing flowing through them like they did before. God said to Israel, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Wonder why God said for me to say that. Return unto me, he said to Israel, and I will return unto you. You know what he's saying? What he's saying to the congregation, to all those thousands of people that are hearing me on live stream, radio, television, and to the house of God right here. He's saying to you, you may have walked away. You may have stepped outside your anointing. You may have walked away from the covenant we've got, but if you will return to me, I will return to you. In the book of Revelations, they were rich and increased in goods. They had everything. Their eyes were focused on material things. And God told them, he said, you don't even know that you're poor, blind, and naked. There's a whole lot of folks in the church right now that you don't even realize that you're poor, blind, and naked, and you're open to the attacks of the enemy because you have chosen to walk out from under that protective grace and anointing. Revival right now is sweeping the world. Have you seen what's going on in the colleges? But so many can't even recognize it. My Bible says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The anointing will and has come upon you. We don't see baptisms in the Holy Ghost anymore. You want to know why? Because we have left sanctification behind. I love y'all. We don't know what it means to be sanctified anymore. We know what it means. Let me tell you what sanctified is. You can be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're saved, the blood of Jesus enters into your life, into your soul, and his grace by that blood washes away all your sin. But you still have the intent and the desire because of your Adamic nature to commit sin. Hallelujah. But when you ask the Lord to begin the works of sanctification, when you want to be sanctified, when you are living a sanctified life, when you are daily saying, Lord, sanctify my heart, my soul, my mind, my body, when you're living in that sanctification means that you have asked God to come into your life. I'm fixing a mess with somebody here. You've asked God to come into your life and take away the desire to commit sin. Let me tell you something. That don't happen just one time. Because we still live in these Adamic bodies and this Adamic nature. That has to happen every day. You have to be sanctified every day. You have to do like Paul said every day and go before the Lord and be sanctified. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But we still have, we left sanctification behind. We want heaven. We want God. We even want His power, but we want what the nominal churches have too. We want to have God's anointing and still live in sin. But Samson can tell you, you can't have it both ways. You going to preach this, Mason? You can't have your cake and eat it too. Do y'all know, it used to bug me for people to say that, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I didn't understand what they meant. I was like, well, I can't eat the cake if I don't have it. But what the saying means is, you got a piece of cake and it's so awesome and so beautiful, and you just want to keep it forever. And you want to set it there and never let it go away. Well, I'm just gonna take me a bite here, and I'm gonna eat it, and it's so good. I still got cake. I'm gonna take another bite, and it's so good, but I still got cake. But after so many of them bites, you've eaten the cake, and it ain't there no more. You can't have your cake and eat it too. When Elijah went to heaven in the whirlwind, Elisha, his servant, the other prophet, he asked God for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. I have prayed so many times for God to give me a double portion of Elijah's anointing. But you know what I read? I'm going to talk about somebody else's anointing. I read where Joseph, when he put food in front of his brothers, when they come up in that famine, there was 11 brothers. He put food in front of all them brothers, but in front of Benjamin, he put 5 times as much food. You can ask for Elijah's double portion if you want to. I want me some Benjamin's mess when I ask for God's anointing. I want 5 times. I want the power. I want to see God. Hallelujah. I want to walk in His victory. I want to walk in the glory of God. And I ain't going to do that if I'm giving up my walk with Christ. The anointing oil that the Hebrew priests made was filled with expensive ingredients. I read all about the ingredients and the special care and the special recipes that the Jewish priests put in the anointing oil, and I ordered some of it. I've got that special anointing oil. There's some expensive ingredients in here, and it won't cheap. Because anointing oil costs you something. The anointing will cost you too. The anointing will cost you something, but I'm going to tell you what. The price of the anointing is not hard to pay. David had an opportunity. He was out somewhere and he needed to make a sacrifice to God, but he wasn't near his flock. And he was near some other farmer, and the farmer said, here, I'll give you my spotless lamb, and you can sacrifice that to the Lord. And David said, nope, you ain't giving me nothing. He said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which cost me nothing. It would be meaningless. The psalmist talked of the anointing, the precious ointment that ran down Aaron's beard, and it was holy. You hear that word, holy? There's a correlation between purity, holiness, and anointing, folks. I love y'all. And I want you to know, I ain't singled none of y'all out. I ain't had nobody in mind while I was preparing this message and while I was preaching it. I ain't calling nobody out right now. But I know that folks is taking a hit when this word's going out. And it ain't my doing. Ecclesiastes 9 and 8 says, let thy garment always be white, and let thine head not lack the clean oil. There are pastors and men falling away today because emphasis is being placed on the fleshly manifestation and not upon holiness. Fleshly demonstration, not upon the purity of the heart. Moses, before the water come out of that rock, he had to smote it. He hid it. Before we can receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, we got to make our way to the foot of the cross at Calvary. Come on now. Before we can operate in the fullness and the power of God, we have got to make our way back to the holiness of God through Jesus Christ. Do you know that a lot of people define repentance as coming to the altar and crying? Repentance is not coming to the altar and crying. Repentance is coming to the altar and crying and getting up changed. Getting up and not walking back into your sin. Getting up and walking back into righteousness instead of to the sinfulness that you walk up to the altar in. That's repentance. Repentance is when you change. Before the priests were anointed, they were washed first. Then they washed their clothes. Then they were sprinkled with the blood. And then they were sprinkled with the anointing oil. Then they, first after that, they went and anointed and sprinkled the furniture in the tabernacle, in the temple. Then they used the anointing oil. If we're going to have the anointing of God upon us, there's got to be a purity. There's got to be a consecration. There's got to be a sanctification. There's got to be a dedication to the Lord and not to your flesh. That's some hard preaching. I love y'all. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7 says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. If we're going to see the anointing of God, we're going to have to quit gagging at sanctification. We're going to have to quit treating God's word like it's a laughable suggestion. Quit making fun of the man of God when he invokes the word of God and speaks against sin. Sin is not a laughing matter. Because sin is going to take you to hell. And hell is no laughing matter. If I invoke the word of God where it pertains to holiness and I'm talking to you, it's because I love you. It's not because I want to embarrass you. It's not because I want to make you feel bad. It's not because I want you to feel that sickness of conviction. If I invoke the word of God, it's because I love you. And I want to see you in heaven. Charles Spurgeon, I love what Charles Spurgeon said here. He's talking about sinners. How many of you ever tried to witness to a sinner and they just fought with you and argued with you? Oh, yeah. Y'all don't know what that's like. Charles Spurgeon said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled with the teeth of our exertion. And let not one go unwarned or unprayed for. I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts your feelings, because I ain't here for a popularity contest. I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts your feelings, because I want to see you in heaven. There was two men one time. There was a man one time. He went to hear two preachers at the same church, one Sunday morning, Sunday night. Both them preachers preached on hell. The guy on that Sunday morning preached on hell, and the man got up and left. Didn't even stay for the altar call. The guy Sunday night preached on hell, and the guy got up and from the back row found his. He was the first one in the altar and gave his heart to Jesus. Later on that night, the pastor asked him, he said, "Brother, you were here this morning and you were here tonight. Both these men preached on hell. Why did you leave this morning and come back tonight?" He said, "That man that was preaching hell this morning preached like he wanted me to go there. That man that preached tonight preached like he would do anything he could to stop me from going there. I want to stop you. I love you. I don't want you to go to hell." Sounds like Charles Spurgeon had blood in his teeth, don't he? Y'all know what it means? I say that all the time, get blood in your teeth. Danny's going to know what it means when I say get blood in your teeth. Sarah Mason's going to know what it means when I say get blood in your teeth. Because they were in my youth group, and I used to tell them all the time, get blood in your teeth. You know why I say that? You go out to the African plain, and the cheetah is the fastest mammal known to man on the earth. But he's not maneuverable. He's fast, but he's not as maneuverable as the gazelle. He'll get to chasing that gazelle. He can run that gazelle down, but that gazelle can cut to the right. That cheetah's got to dig a nice little turn and go back and catch it. Every now and then, that gazelle will dodge and cut and move and juke him. And that cheetah will get tired because he can't run that fast forever, and he'll just give up. But if that cheetah in the part of that gazelle and gets a taste of that blood, his baser instinct will take over and he will not give up. Saints of God, we need to get blood in our teeth when it comes to serving God. We need to get blood in our teeth when it comes to reaching out to the lost and to try to bring them to an altar of God. My whole life, Brother Mason, go ahead. My whole life has been about getting to the point where I do all I can to lead you away from hell and to get you to the portals of glory. I love you, and I want to see you there.
We have a couple of things left to do. If you would raise your hand with us. We used to teach this to kids exclusively for, 27, 30 years, give or take. And then we realized, why are we limiting it to the children when anybody can use this? And it's as simple as putting up your hand. All right, do this with me, y'all. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sins. You rose again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Make me a new Christian. And a cute little additive that the children have said that belongs on this prayer is punch the devil in the face.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center. Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.